Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the Grief Gang podcast with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. The message behind the Grief Gang is to normalise the topic of conversation that is grief. People living with grief can often feel ashamed, isolated, and alone. This podcast was created to break those taboos after I, myself, experienced all of those feelings after the loss of my mum in 2016. I decided enough was enough and we need to talk about this. You'll hear on this podcast an array of stories and experiences, some being my own and some being fantastic guest episodes and their incredible stories. You'll laugh, you'll cry, but I hope above all, I hope you'll learn. I hope you'll learn that you are not alone in your grief journey, that you have a voice and it should be heard, that you and your grief matter. So without further ado, I'll let you enjoy the episode. Happy listening. Hello, Grief Gang, and welcome back to another episode with me, your host, Amber Jeffrey. It is another guest episode, and I am so delighted to have this guest on. To give a little bit of context into how that I found this guest, I'm actually going to take it back to around summer last year when I was aimlessly scrolling through Twitter, as I do. But it wasn't aimlessly because I then stumbled across this. I stumbled across this fantastic person and this initiative. And it caught my eye at first because of the name of the fund and of the initiative, because it is the same name as the charity that I work under. And I thought, oh, have they done something and I don't know about it? Like, what's going on here? And I thought, oh, no, it's not. Let me have a little look into it. And as I dug deeper, I became just a little bit more obsessed. And I've been following the creator and the founder of it for some time. And I thought, you know what? I want to reach out. I want to reach out and have this guest on the show. So, Grief Gang, I'm so happy to introduce to you Key Bennett. Key, thank you so much for being here today, darling. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Key, could you take us a bit of time just to tell the listeners about who you are and what it is that you do?
Okay, so my name is Key. I'm the founder of AZ Magazine, which is an online publication for Black and people of colour that are LGBT. I'm also the founder of the New Normal Therapy Fund, which provides therapy for Black people. And that have lost a mother/mother figure. I'm a multifaceted babes. Like, I'm a consultant. I do UX. Like, name it, I probably do.
Brilliant. You're a multifaceted babe. And yeah, specifically, we're going to go into more about the New Normal Fund, because that was what, yeah, it's the New Normal. And those who know me, I work very close with a charity called the New Normal. It's actually something I need to earwig with you. I think you could work great together. I'll speak to you about that after. But yeah, it did. Honestly, Kit, I was scrolling through Twitter one day and I saw it come up and I was like, what's this? And I dug deeper. And then I was kind of following it for a while and seeing as the funding was going up. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And then I saw that you were collaborating then with Black Minds Matter. And I was like, fuck, like this is just fucking huge. But Key, there obviously is a reason why you're here today on The Grief Gang and why it also inspired you to start such a fantastic thing such as the New Normal Therapy Fund. There's somebody that you've lost in your life. So I was wondering if you could tell the listeners about who it is that we are here to remember today.
Yeah, so I lost my mom in 2017. She passed away by suicide. And if you have lost someone in that way, you know how like earth-shattering that is, and confusing all in one. And I remember at the time just feeling completely numb and almost pretending like that I was fine. More so for the people around me, because when the topic of suicide comes up, people automatically feel uncomfortable. They almost retreat. Mm-hmm. And my coping mechanism was to try and make them feel better about the situation. And on top of that, because I was the next of kin, I then had to arrange, you know, the funeral and everything else on top of that. So I didn't even have the opportunity to, I guess, stop and process my own emotions. It was just go, go, go. Yeah. And I remember it just being a tricky time, because while people were kind of like sad and mourning, I was just angry.
Yeah.
The only feeling that I could feel at that point was just anger and abandonment. Mm-hmm. And when I tried to express that to people, it was kind of met with disdain, because you're automatically expected to just talk about all the good times and not speak about anything, any ill feeling that you have.
Yeah.
What was a saving grace for me personally was that I had very supportive friends around me who gave me the space to express myself in whichever way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. There were days where I was just like breaking down crying. There were days where I was making like the most inappropriate jokes.
We love them trauma jokes. We love them trauma jokes. Do you know what, if it helps you, I don't care how deep and how dark it is, if it helps, it fucking helps.
No, honestly. And I think like, so my childhood best friend, a year and a half before my mom passed, their mom had passed away. Mm-hmm. So I had her to kind of have those conversations with and open up in like such a like a comfortable and safe environment that I didn't feel alone in that way, you know?
Yeah.
However, I think the one thing that was hard for me was navigating that with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's a lot of shame around suicide. And for my family, it was, let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
We don't want that to be your mum's story.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never make that my mum's story, because that was a small part of her life. The most minuscule part of her life.
Exactly. Yeah.
She was the bubbliest, happiest, like most adventurous person I knew. Like, and what I told myself last year was, the mourning stops now, and now we celebrate.
It's interesting. So many people's views on like the word mourning itself vary. So if you saying then, like, well, you're saying you felt you were mourning from 2017 till 20, the state of mourning, and that's a long time to be in the mourning stage. And when people, the difference between like grief and mourning, I don't know word for word, but like definition, like the mourning is like the initial stages after, like very, very close to it after. But the reality is, some people think, oh yeah, that wears off after a couple of months, a couple of years. So people can be in deep despair mourning for years and come fluctuate in and out of it as well.
Yeah, I guess just to follow on from that, it's I didn't feel like I had the space to start my grieving process, because I felt like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. I had so much planning to do that there was no time to be still.
The list is never ending. I know people who have had things crop up like years later, and they're like, I thought we ticked all our boxes. I thought we did it all. Why are we still getting it? It doesn't stop. And hearing you talk there, Key, really reminds me of my brother, and just kind of how it was go, 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 go. And then eventually when there was nothing like left to do is when it came. And I think, yeah, the pandemic was that for quite a lot of us. Of some of us were on furlough, whatever it may be, we all ground to a halt and were very much confronted with our feelings. I look back now and kind of how I tackle some of my feelings for my grief during the pandemic as quite thankful for it. I won't say grateful because of the sheer loss we've had, but quite thankful for being able to spend that time with me.
At the time of the lockdown, I struggled so hard. And I'd go on panels and I'd have conversations with people where they'd be like, so how are you finding the pandemic? And everyone was like, I've spent the last 3 years on go, go, go. Mm-hmm. Now I have to stop. I have to deal with everything.
Like, you look back and you kind of think, oh, yeah, just because I like to be busy, like, and hustle culture and all that shit. But it is when you're forced to just be with yourself and actually tap into, why do I feel so uncomfortable just sitting here, me and my feelings? And I was like, fucking hell. I felt like I was peeling back an onion of just shit. I was like, it's never fucking ending. I want to ask you, Key, and this is, as I said earlier, off the back of a video that you shared of your mum the other day on your social media. And I saw the video and I was like, I want to ask you about it and more so just what it brought up for me. And I just wanted to ask you, what did life look like with mum growing up? Looking back now, how do you see and recognise that she loved you and how she showed you love?
Growing up with my mum, it was just adventures. Mm. Adventures and laughter. Like, we laughed at everything. I mean, I still do now. Mm. It could be little things, and I know could be little things like I've banged my toe on the corner of the floor and she's like, ah!
When you're in agonizing pain and you're like, stop it.
So we had like a tradition which was like, for her birthday, my nan would come down from Sheffield and her birthday was April Fool's Day.
So, oh, stop.
Like, the day of the most ultimate pranks. Like, how can we top last year? That was it, right? We'd play pranks on each other. We'd team up and play pranks on my nan.
Nanny.
So there was one day, right, where, so the year before, I had run down the stairs and banged me down, laid at the bottom, and just started be like, ah! So she's ran out. She's like, oh my God, my baby, no! Start laughing, obviously. I mean, it's a bit of a...
Yeah.
And then started laughing, right? And so she was like, let's do the same prank on Nan and see how she reacts to it. Oh. So I'm like, mom, mom! And as soon as she comes running out, we both burst out laughing. And she gets the slipper and then starts whacking both of us.
Stop, yeah. She's like, you're going to play this fucking foolery with me? Play with my heart like this?
And it's like, we're all just laughing. It was like, it's such an innocent prank or whatever. But yeah. That is, honestly, I remember my childhood like that. We used to go to little spas together, like literally three generations, me, my mom, and my nan. We'd go on holidays together, like we used to go to Jamaica a lot together.
Fun
is how I described it. When it comes to like my mom showing me love, she was a therapist. She'd always like leave a little book, you know, a little book on the side, a little well-being book. She'd always buy me journals and be like, you know, express yourself as much as you possibly can.
Amazing.
She'd take me to like pampering days because she'd be like, you need to look after you first.
Yeah. That, Key, is really interesting into obviously then what I'm going to ask you now about the new normal therapy fund and how it came to be and why. And so, yeah, you touched on then saying that mum was a therapist in her line of work. So I'm going to go to the question that's a little bit more below of kind of your own personal experience of therapy. So for one, growing up with a mum who was a therapist and then going to therapy and then starting this fund. So I'm going to assume, did therapy come first before the fund?
Yes.
Yeah. And so as listeners and listening now, probably if they've been here from like the beginning or somewhat not that long ago, I was very anti-therapy. And I say anti, I want to look back, I was a fucking dick. Like, I should have been probably Ofcom should have come and got me for spouting like such bad shit. But it was because of my own experience. And now I had a really bad, it was very transactional experience, and I just was really put off it for quite some time. And then I came into contact with like a very modern contemporary therapy service called Self Space. Don't know if you've seen them on Instagram. They're fantastic. They just give this new breath of air into therapy and just kind of break down all the connotations that you probably would have had towards therapy, of like, you know, the really stiff rigid chair that you sit in, and like the, you know, just the really generic things that you think of. And I listened to a podcast one of their founders on the Reggie Yates podcast years ago, and I just became obsessed with them after. And then just, I've still not even stepped back into the therapy room, but just alone through their content and their conversation, it's completely flipped the script for me. So I'm still yet to go back into the therapy room itself. And I think that's a bit more of hesitation of, now that I'm open to it and I'm not resistant, I'm putting that wall up, what the fuck is going to come out for me? But I wanted to ask you kind of, yeah, what was after mum's death, was therapy kind of the go-to for you?
So I was similar to you, to be fair.
Yeah.
Because my mum was a therapist, I found the whole concept annoying. I was like, there's nothing that anyone can tell me that I don't already know. I grew up with a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why do I need it? So after my mum passed away, I kind of had the same mindset. But then I started to really struggle and felt like I couldn't speak to anyone.
Mm.
And felt really alone. And I remember taking a trip to the A&E because I was like, I feel sad and I can't shake the sadness and I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking to someone there, and they handed, for the first time, so that would have been early 2018.
Yeah.
And for the first time, someone handed me like resources.
Yeah. It's a long time.
Way at the end of June, and in, it wasn't until January that I started to receive any resources.
Yeah.
And one of them was for SOBS, so survivors of bereavement by suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I then was like, what, there's groups?
Yeah.
About this.
Mm-hmm.
So I started emailing loads of them, and I was just like, at the time, it was just a mess. So I was just like, yeah, this has happened.
Yeah. You're like, not coherent emails at all. You're just like, help.
Grammar.
Yeah.
Help. And this amazing, and I will sing the praises of this person till kingdom come. Called Mel, who ran the Coventry branch that I went to. So at the time, I lived in Coventry.
Mm.
And she was like, you know, we've got this group and the next one's coming up on, it's like Monday or Tuesday, like, feel free to come through. You can sit in the group and listen. You don't have to speak at all, but just know that we're here to support you. So I went along to the group for the first, I think even two sessions. I just sat there and looked at everybody as they spoke. I said, all I did was say my name. And then I just sat there and looked around the room. And I'd never felt so like kind of held in that moment. Like, people were sharing stories that I could relate to and feelings that I could relate to. And I just felt so heard in that moment, even though I hadn't spoken.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it was on the third time that I went. So I think it was like the first Monday of every month. The third time that I went, I was like, okay, I told myself, you're going to talk this time.
Yeah.
And I shared my story and literally burst into tears while I was talking. And everybody just kind of huddled around me and gave me a hug. I was like, it's okay. Like, you can feel any way you want to, because I felt shame because I was angry and I was like, how could you do this to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I continued to go there for about, I think it was like a year.
Wow.
And then I got to the point, I think I got to the point eventually where it was like, actually, most of the 99% of the people there had lost, like, you know, a husband, a wife, a child, but no one had lost a parent.
Okay.
So I was finding it quite, I was finding it quite difficult to, like, I guess, relate in some way to some of the
stories. It's isolation within its, I know what you mean, yeah.
Also, no one looked like me.
Yeah.
So when I'm explaining, I guess, I'm from, my family's Jamaican, and when I'm explaining how my family's kind of, like, dealing with the process, there's nuances to it, you know, that people in the room couldn't really understand.
And you're spending more time explaining about that nuances than actually getting to the core of your feelings.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I stopped going there, and I was in, I guess, at that point, I was like, okay, I've done that now. Mm-hmm. I can stand alone on my two feet.
Oh, like Bambi.
I was like, I'm strong now, I'm fine, you know? And I think about 2 months after that, I was like, now I just feel alone again.
Yeah.
So I've shared this part of myself with people that I'm never going to speak to again. Now what do I do? And I had a friend that was like, why don't you try therapy? Mm-hmm. I know that you don't like one-on-one therapy, but why don't you try it? Just give it a go. You don't have to make a lifetime commitment to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on the, I think it's the Black and Asian Therapy Network.
Yes.
I remember my mum mentioning it before. She was a part of it, I think. And I went on there and just scrolled through and I was like,
you get your vibe. You're like, not you.
Who was the now? And then I was just like, do you know what? That one.
Yeah. Close your eyes. That one.
I was in therapy with her for a while. I mean, when I say a while, I think it was like a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quit my job. Right. So with everything that had happened with my mom, I was like, life is short.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do anything that makes me feel unhappy. And if this means that I'm not working for a month or so, I'm going to deal with that, and I have family to support me.
Yeah.
At least have a sofa to sleep on somewhere.
Yeah, you got roof over your heads. You're all right.
So, yeah, like, with that, I had to change therapists because, you know, therapy is expensive.
Yeah.
And I was with, like, a Black woman at the time, and it was great, and I was sad that I had to leave.
Yeah.
So I then went and got, like, free therapy from my local service.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was like affordable therapy,
yeah,
for my local service. But then with that, I had a white man as my therapist.
Yeah, you don't get the pick there.
And it was so incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Because I needed the therapy. But as I'm talking, I'm looking at him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want you to feel sorry for me.
No.
This is not what I'm trying to explain to you.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was Black into employment, I remember reaching out to, you know, during 2020, a lot of funds came about and a lot of services started to come around specifically for Black people.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to one. I was like, if you have any therapists, like, can you put me in contact?
Yeah.
And I was put in contact with my amazing therapist now. Mm. Absolutely, like, honestly, could squeeze her. Like, and I've never felt so heard in my life. Like, she gives me the mental hug that I need every week.
Yeah.
Just unfiltered advice is great.
Yeah. They'll tell you how it is.
Yeah. And I guess from that, when I started to go through that process, I was like, actually, this is something that everybody needs, but not everyone has access to.
You want
to
share it.
I've been on both sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, it's like, yeah, you have free services, but is that person going to look like you? Are they going to be able to relate to you culturally? Are they going to be able to understand your situation?
And did you initially start fundraising by bike riding?
Yeah.
That is amazing. I love that.
So, me and my friends were like quite sporty people. We like a challenge. And I've always wanted to just ride to Brighton. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I had the idea of the new normal therapy fund. And I was like, how about I do a sponsored bike ride?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And I spoke to like friends. I was like, who wants to do it with me? And everyone looked at me like, you're just
They're like, I'll just donate.
Yeah. They were like, you have a fiver, it's fine. You know?
They're like, how about I just give you a tenner and use it yourself?
I know. Yeah. So I was like, do you know what? I was also holding myself accountable as well. Yeah. So I was like, once I've put this out there, I'm doing it. Yeah. And I remember the day before I released it, I was in tears.
Yeah,
because I was like, how are people going to receive this, and what, no one cares, and what if no one support it, and I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to get people this therapy, it's important to me. So it initially started as I wanted to raise enough money for 12 weeks of therapy for 5 Black people. And within 5 days we had surpassed the target, so I was like, all right, cool, we've got there.
Yeah, I think bigger now.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And we even, I think I surpassed that target by maybe like a grand as well. Wow. And the ride to Brighton, my God. On the way there, I remember saying to my friends, like, what are we doing? We're actually mad. Why are we doing this?
Mad hilly, isn't it?
I didn't know.
It's mad hilly. My brother, he does the London to Brighton for British Heart Foundation, and he did it since our mum died, and he's not done it for 2 years, and they're doing it this year, so they've had a good 2 year break now. But I'll never forget, the first year when they got to that line, I've never seen it. Oh, are you guys all right? They were like, there's that one hill. There's just one hill.
Oh yeah, when you're going into Brighton, horrid. I literally, we all got off our bikes. We got videos of all of us just like walking up the hill.
Yeah, you're like, fuck this, we're off.
Yeah, we were like, we're not doing this. This is a joke. I don't know what human legs can do this.
Yes. But Matt, I can imagine on that ride, knowing of how many people are funding, and that's like the perfect motivation to it keep was. Going and going. So you actually ended up funding, was it for 12 people?
So it ended up being, so we kept it at 10.
Kept it at 10. It was 12 weeks, 12 weeks.
When I spoke to, so then I reached out to Black Minds Matter, and I was like, look, I fundraised this money and it's for Black people, and I would love for the therapist to also be Black. And for me, why recreate the wheel when there's always already the infrastructure and a organization that's doing amazing work?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, this is amazing. We'll match that. You know, it's just like a little idea that I had. And when you're going through something like this, you think that you're going through it by yourself and that no one really cares. So to know that people supported it with their donations, with sharing it, with just speaking to people. And then Black Minds Matter came along and was like, you know what? Like, we support this so much, we're going to match it. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. To not even just come along and be like, yeah, we'll support you. What does that look like for you? Just go, yeah, we're going to double it.
I was like, is this a joke?
And that's making it really real, like, shit, this is amazing. Our key is fucking amazing. I wanted to ask you, because thinking about, obviously, the therapy run is for the Black community and ages 25 to 35, isn't it, in that bracket. And now I wanted to ask kind of about reception. Obviously, I imagine there's always great reception, but if there's a little 1% of And I noticed this of because myself and six other ladies at the time, we've all kind of gone different things, but it's still there. We created an account called The Grief Safe Space on Instagram, and it was specifically a sole place to share grief and stories of those from Black and Brown communities, their grief, who they've lost. And it was like a submission-based page, and it still is, and we're currently reviving at the moment. And also when we created it, it was met with such great reception and people supporting it, sharing it, whatever it looked like. And then just every now and again, we get that little 1%, obviously someone who is not Black or Brown. Why is their space only dedicated? Why is this space only dedicated to Black and Brown people? We all grieve. We all need support. We all need this. We all need that. And I would say to the girl, you better answer it because you're better than me. And I'm not that nice on comments. So no, I like to say I am not the one, but yeah, I am the one. So that's me. And we often found our response would always be, you know, by default, the world has been catered for you and your white counterparts. It's been catered for you. You know, you can let us fucking have this. You can let us have this space. And so I wanted to ask you, kind of, did you receive any kind of backlash, so to say, as that? And kind of, yeah, emphasizing why it is so important to have specific support systems and therapy, and having Black therapists in the therapy room.
To be fair, because I do AZ, I'm already doing work catered specifically to like Black and Brown communities.
Mm-hmm.
So within my network are already people that understand what I'm doing. So when it came to this fund, I think I did feel a bit anxious about what the reception would be like.
Mm-hmm.
I had no one.
Amazing.
But yeah, like for me, I guess it was okay. The reason personally for why I did it was because of my experience with the NHS and my family's experience with the NHS and the mental health services. As I said, my mum was a therapist.
Yeah.
And because of this, she was like deemed as strong and capable. So she didn't receive the help that she needed from the institution that should have taken care of her.
Yeah.
And not only that, my great uncle was restrained in a mental health service and passed away as a result of that.
Yeah.
And is to this day used as a case study.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to create something that allowed our community to be able to be as vulnerable as they needed to get the help that they deserved, and I guess be placed at the forefront of a service. Mm-hmm. Because with what I'm doing, with what Black Minds Matter are doing, the Black community's care comes first. While like in certain spaces, they've been like, yeah, but what are the statistics for that? I'm like, I don't need to explain that to you.
No.
This is what I'm doing and this is the community that I'm doing it for.
Yeah. What's the future for it? Are we going to be running another, like, are we going to be doing another bike rise? I'll join you.
So for me, what I want to do with the new Normal Therapy Fund is, like, I love fitness, I love sport. Mm-hmm. So any fundraising activity I'm going to do is going to be specific to, like, sports and fitness and challenges.
Yeah.
My goal, my aim is to support at least 40 people a year. So this year I want to fundraise for another 10 people to go through. And then next year is when I'll start with the 40.
Yeah.
So 40 people a year, it's perfect. I spoke to like Black Minds Matter, and like this is the first time that I'm even saying it publicly last month. And this was early last month. They were like 13 people are now in therapy through your fund.
Obviously, you don't know what goes on, in between those rooms and then four walls, whatever it is, how they're doing it. But Nona, you've provided 13 people that support. Key. I'll take my hat off to you. I've had some amazing things come my way. Amazing things come my way that probably, have gone over my head a little bit. Oh, okay. I'm not grateful for it or anything, but it's the messages that will always make me actually go, this is what I do it for. This is what I've, and that's not even people, oh, thank you. It's, you know, just, you've made me feel seen. You've made me feel heard. I am a bit of a thrill seeker. So if you need me to jump out of a, I've jumped out of a plane for charity before. So if you need me to do, I've done it. I did it. It was amazing. Me and my friend Poppy, is, oh, fucking hell, what a day that was. I'll jump out of a plane for the new normal therapy fund. I'm saying it here now, guys, so you can hold me accountable there. Jump out of a plane for you. You're like, you know that time back in April in 2020? I'll be like, next key, I wanted to ask you kind of how me and you had a conversation that for a recording, and it was about Mother's Day. And so when this comes out, we'll be in about May time, but we'll be fast approaching then kind of like Father's Day and just all these kind of days that are around celebrating this one individual person. And for those who, yeah, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, whatever it is, can find these days really hard. And me and you were having a conversation about it. And I wanted to ask you kind of like your frustrations around Mother's Day, because I've got my whole spiel of why I detest it. I don't detest Mother's Day itself. I detest, yeah, the commercial shit around it. So I just wanted to ask you what were kind of your frustrations.
The thing is, I kind of came to terms with the fact that if I'm going into a supermarket,
yeah,
I'm going into, I guess, any store, I'm going to be bombarded from after Valentine's Day, yeah, all the way to Mother's, mm-hmm, Day, right? A good month and a bit. Great. But what I found the most difficult was opening my emails and having that plastered all over emails constantly,
mm-hmm,
several emails a day.
Yeah.
And for me, it was brands need to be more thoughtful in how they're distributing messages.
Mm-hmm.
Organizations need to think about people that are grieving for many different reasons or are triggered by those days for many different reasons.
Yeah.
And this year, I was like, actually, enough's enough now. Something needs to be done where we're having conversations with organisations. And if that means that it has to be like contacting local MPs, doing, yeah, something where people are forced to consider not only just the customers that they're delivering these messages to, but what about the people that work within the organisation?
Absolutely. Who have to go and do that.
Right.
The thing that bugs me the most is that the whole opt-out shit and how the opt-out has now become really celebrated.
Mm.
And I see it through on my Grief Gang account. I see people like, oh, this account or this brand said, sign here, opt-out, like, well done, thank you. And it was almost, I was feeling like, why are we clapping like fish for swimming? Like... So that was my thought as well. Like, why are we clapping fish for swimming? And then my narrative has changed. And this year I went, yeah, enough's a fucking enough. Because I thought, let's think back to these last 2 years. How many people have died just for one, either of the virus just in this time? We've seen the most record-breaking death toll ever in our lifetime. Think of many of those people are mothers or motherly figures to somebody, right? So now when people... Let's go, for example, M&S. Don't sue me, M&S, all right? If you're listening, M&S marketers, don't fucking sue me. Good Lord, I love your hot cross buns. Fucking hell. I probably shouldn't use examples, but anyway. Imagine M&S right now. They're sending out all these lovely, buy mum this, buy mum that, treat mum like the queen, she has fuck off, blah, blah, blah. And that, like, a large percentage of their marketing now are now bereaved. Like, let's think about that. You are now... You don't cater to a market anymore. You've lost them now. And then when with the opt-out emails too, you're going to opt out what? Like a large proportion of your marketing. So I was thinking about my marketing head on. I was like, I don't even work in marketing. Why am I doing this? But I just thought, we're now even at like an even kilter. Why are we still being disregarded and actually not included? It's about time now that actually brands go to the drawing board instead of pulling out the dusty opt-out option every year and actually go, right, how are we going to include bereaved people this year? And for them, it is hard, especially if they've maybe got nobody in the team who can kind of guide them through that. But do the hard work. Do the work. I'm sick of these poxy opt-out emails every year. I'm done with it. I want to see something that is like a card for like bereaved children for their mother, next to the ones that are next to their mother, and say like, to my mum, like, or then to my mum who I miss. I want to see them two next to each other in the store.
I don't want to have to go and make me own moon pig and shit like that. So that's my hopes and dreams. And it's been interesting. I shared it on Grief Gang because it's almost, I feel like a bit going against the grain. And I do totally appreciate the opt out and for some people and how it is really actually comforting. And I remember in them really early stages, I think my first mother's dad didn't ever receive like an opt out. It's only been the last couple of years it's become like a hot thing. And when I first got one, I thought, yeah, I actually really like this. But then when you're getting like 8 a day or saying opt out, you're like, wow, guys, you're really trying to tell me this day isn't for me anymore. And for someone like me who actually does, I've spent a lot of time claiming back Mother's Day for me and my mum, and I celebrate her on the day, do whatever that looks like for me, to have that inner work and go, no, this day is still for me and my mum, to then be bombarded by society of, no, it's not for you, is it really though, is it? It's pissing me off.
We're excluded from the story. We're excluded from the narrative. And I want to let people know that, like, I see you and I'm thinking about you.
Yeah.
Why are these companies not like, you can create something for someone who has maybe lost someone on this day or around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Include us in the narrative.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be just for mum. Why couldn't it not be for X, you know?
And actually, I realised when I shared it on my Instagram and spoke to my people about it, and I was like, I'm going to share this narrative and you might like it, you might not. And actually some people, they wrote back and they were like, you know what? I feel like a kind of like infueled hate. But I was like, I gave them something to think about. They went, actually, yeah, no, I don't, the bar is in hell. Like, why am I just accepting opt out? I want inclusion. And I went, absolutely, we should have inclusion. Like, let's not settle. We are worthy of this. So I'd like to see if something is different around Father's Day. And who knows, we'll get start working, Keon, for Mother's Day next year.
One thing that I would love to say is Lush last year donated to the boxes. I didn't even have to do a massive spiel. It was just like, I'm creating these boxes, would you donate? And there was nothing behind it. It wasn't send pictures or tag us.
Yeah.
There was absolutely nothing. It was
just for a good cause.
What's your address?
Amazing.
And I came back this year to ask them and they were like, yeah, what's your address, what do you want?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, like, I know there are more organizations out there, but because maybe, like you said, there's someone in the team that hasn't lost anyone or isn't in having that thought process, we need to just kind of...
Yeah. I think they're scared. They're scared to. And do you know what? I don't blame them. I think they're scared of getting it wrong. And they will. And they will. They'll get it wrong for somebody or a percentage of people. Some people will be like, what do you mean? I couldn't think of anything worse other than having like a specific card and picking that up in the shop and going to the till and buying that and blah, blah, blah. For some people, they're going to hate it and they'd rather forget about the days or whatever it is. But they are. They're scared of getting it wrong. And that's why people of us with lived experience putting ourselves forward, like, we will help you. Like, cause we want to see this change. I do think it's going to happen in a lifetime. I think the more we get arms and numbers and people on deck, it's going to happen. I'm going to ask you now a question from our previous guest who left this question for you. And then you're going to leave a question for the next guest and you don't know who it is at all because I don't even know who it is next either. So this question comes from a lady called Georgina Lucas, who was on the podcast, and she very tragically lost her son, Gray, and he was 21 days old. And it was a beautiful story, and it will be out before this episode. But her question that she left for you is this. She asks, what is something that someone said or did in the aftermath of your person dying that has stuck with you? Whether it's something special, some words of advice, or an act of service.
Me explaining to my partner that I'm going to Sheffield to see my mum's grave. Mm-hmm. And her being like, I'd love to come and meet your mum.
Oh.
And it was the wording for me, you know?
Yeah.
And once we got there, she was just like, hi, mum. And I had a conversation. And I've never had anybody, I guess, be so thoughtful in that way. And in that moment, I didn't feel like I had to put on a different mask or be somebody else. It was just like I was just seen as she was there with me in the moment. And I think that act of service,
yeah,
undefeated.
That is, can I come and meet mum? And because that's a huge thing, not everyone, I'm very choosy of kind of who I would take to my mum's grave, and kind of almost having that pushing through, like, I really like to meet her. Because sometimes even asking people, like, oh, would you come with me to the grave? Like, I've asked a few people and not maybe had the response that I wanted. And so kind of I stopped asking people. So when people would actively put themselves forward, I was like, you want to meet my mom? Come and meet my mom.
And I guess, like, I listened to one of your episodes and I remember the person saying that everybody, like anyone that they had got, that they would get with now, would never know their mom.
Yeah.
And I thought about that and it really just resonated with me. So in that moment, like in hindsight, in that moment, I was like, wow, like she would never get to meet you in person, but this is the closest thing and it feels so important, it feels so special. And I'm a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. So we just sat there and we just had little conversations. And my nan, so my mum wanted to be buried quite close to my nan. Mm-hmm. So my nan is like a walk away.
Yeah.
So I went over there and was just like,
stop by everyone. Yeah. Doing the rounds. I was just like, my mum is buried with her mum. So we're saying hi to two when we go to her. Then all her family are on the other side. Honestly, it's like a fucking, it's a morbid day out. We're all popping by the graves. It's honestly, it's an expensive flower trip, I tell you that. I'm like, right, get that for Great Nanny, get that for Auntie Lily, get that for just fucking out. But it is, and it's so sacred. And when somebody fully embraces that and kind of isn't a bit like coward or a bit, and they fully embrace it, and like you said, it's the closest you're gonna get. But if this is it, like this is special. How special, what a lovely partner you have. And now, can you leave a question for our next guest, please?
I guess it's like, knowing what you know now about grief, what advice would you give to someone who is supporting a loved one that's lost someone?
Yeah, love that. Yeah. What advice? Okay, yeah, perfect. Stunning. Well, Key, that I'm all questioned out for you. Thank you so much for being a guest today on the podcast. Where can the people find you and support you in your work?
So you can find me on Instagram. Don't really use Twitter, but on Instagram at @itskey_b. And yeah.
And how can we, you know, when can we start funding? When can we start getting involved and donating?
So what I'm going to start doing is just putting out posts on my Instagram. So if you follow me, you'll be able to find all the information. And at some point,
amazing,
launch for something bigger. So look out for that.
Fantastic. And I'll be sure to share it myself and support, because I think it's a great initiative and you're doing wonderful things, Key. Thank you so much. Well, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you all enjoyed it and it set your week off to a great start. Whether you've laughed a little, cried a little, I mean, I think crying is good for the soul, or you've resonated with something that was said, thank you for listening and spending time out of your day to do so. If you like what you hear, please do rate, review and subscribe. In doing so, you're ensuring that lots more people get to find the Grief Gang podcast and hopefully help them too. If you're not already, check out the Grief Gang on social media platforms such as Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. I'm most active on the Instagram page, where I love, love, love to connect with you all. For now, take care and big, big love.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.